Hello and welcome to one of the really big, amazing episodes of Season 6, Itchy and Scratchy Land, also known as 2F01, original air date October 2nd, 1994. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
I'm Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson.
This is Homer Simpson, the voice of Homer Simpson.
I'm Wes Archer, I'm the director.
This is Matt Groening, sitting in for once.
This episode was a real, real difficult episode to do on a lot of levels. It's a huge episode in terms of that we had to create an entire Itchy and Scratchy Land, which is an enormous amount of writing to like create a whole new environment, and most of the episode takes place in this new environment. That's hard to do.
Now, wasn't there a bunch of network problems with this leading right here?
Even that was one of the big problems of the show. This was done right at the time, the last time our brilliant government tried to go after censorship and try and, you know, make everything nice and fine and unfunny. And I got a call from the network. As they will call me now and again, I keep changing my number, and they still call. And they said, you know, you can't do Itchy and Scratchy anymore. And I said, well, we're not only doing them, we're doing Itchy and Scratchy Land. It's going to be a whole episode of them. It was sort of my reaction, our reaction, John Schwartzwelder, too. We sort of worked on this with John together. It's written by John Schwartzwelder, directed by Wes Anderson.
Wes Archer.
I'm sorry, Wes Archer.
Wes Anderson.
Yes, I apologize for that. Wes Archer, so much better than Wes. But with Schwartzwelder, we worked on this as a group. We sort of came up with this idea in a room as a reaction to all that censorship. And of course, the network was after it. They said, our standards have changed. You can't do Itchy and Scratchy. Our standards have changed. And I said, well, ours have not. And if we've been doing Itchy and Scratchy.
We're busy lowering them. And
what was that?
Busy lowering our standards.
Yes, exactly.
This is a dream come true for an animator to have this stuff written. Animators, well, I just love mindless violence. You know,
by the way, I love that shot.
Expression.
That's we very rarely do the straight on shots of the characters. But when we do, it's for a good reason. And Wes so nailed those faces there. I don't think we've ever seen those faces before or since, Matt.
You know, that's one of the things I like about these episodes from Season 6 is there's so many unusual angles. We're not doing straight on. It's not proscenium. It's very cinematic. There's a lot of low angles and high angles and weird poses. And
we really encourage that. Then, and you know, our directors, you know, we just had these fantastic directors who just ran with that. And
well,
I remember when
there are competing things, though, because you and I both believe we're both interested in clarity in telling the joke and make sure that people understand and get what the joke is.
Absolutely.
And then we also want to be cinematically interesting as well.
It's just choosing the right places. I mean, there are certain jokes that play perfect in what we call a proscenium, which is just a wide, straight-on shot where you understand all the geography. And then there are moments that you mix in with that are very visual, that are very artsy and with angles and lighting and all that. And it's just a matter of mixing it and picking the moment. And you do this in such slow motion because Wes will make these fantastic storyboards and send them to you. And you get to go through them and continue to think about it and continue to talk about it with Wes until you really get something that everybody's really, really excited about. But I have to say that every time I get a storyboard, the main thing that happens is you're blown away by it because you just can't believe. You've written everything out, you know, just in script form, and it's about the same time I've recorded the actors, and then the first visual hit are these storyboards, and the talent of our directors is just stunning.
Don't you write any of this down?
No, I ain't senile, Dad, blasted.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Grandpa.
Wait a minute! What was that last thing you said? Grandpa's little helper? What's that? Which one of you is the mailman?
Great timing on that. Great timing on the eyes of the animals. But yeah, it was a big fight with the network. I basically had to say to them, I said, you know, at first I said, we're not going to change anything. And they said, well,
they said,
Well, they did. They said, then we're going to cut it. And I said, you know, you don't want to do that because the press will find out somehow. I don't know how.
They mean they were going to cut the episode?
They would cut the itchy and scratchy down. They'd cut the violence out themselves.
Oh,
they kind of take it away. And I say, you know, you can't do that because we would complain about it. It would get in the press. You'd look like it. And I said to them, show me the complaints that you got about itchy and scratchy over the years. They said nothing because they had no complaints. They were just self-censoring, just out of fear. Right. As I always say, there's no lack of backbone in Hollywood.
Well, I was wondering when I was animating, I was wondering if you were worried about that much when you wrote it.
No, we were tweaking their noses on purpose because I was very angry about that because comedy violence I think is therapeutic and not troublesome and we do it in such a comedic, silly, over the top way that we're actually putting down violence by showing how ridiculous
it is. If David Merkin weren't able to do mindless violence, you know how crazy
I would hurt someone if I can't get it out in this form. And even when I was a kid, I would watch, you know, incredibly violent cartoons, the Bugs Bunny and Popeye, and you would viscerally get it out by watching it. You would realize that it was ridiculous, and you wouldn't do it.
Now, of course, it's the nighttime slot, so it's a little different with kids' cartoons mornings or the afternoon.
But like Bugs Bunny and Popeye were kids' cartoons, and there's a whole generation of people who don't go around, you know, trying to murder each other. Murder is down. You know, everything is. So it's there's no real research that shows it. I don't believe it, having grown up with it. My parents told me a simple thing. That's on TV. You don't do that. That's for pretend.
Don't
this
drop
is real.
An anvil on
Don't hit yourself
head.
In the head with a hammer or with an anvil. Yeah.
Well,
if I could only find an anvil, I probably would have done something.
Although many of the classic cartoons were animated for the theatrical release. They were shorts that would show before the feature-length movies.
And they were designed for adults.
All right, we're here. Let us never speak of the shortcut again. Now remember, we're in the itchy lot.
That's a good
we're
gag.
We're approaching our final destination, itchy.
Now that we're here, this is all based on a combination of mostly Disneyland. That's what so much of this is. This is obviously a Jurassic Park reference. So it's an island that's like Disneyland. But that's the way the parking lots are in Disneyland, and I'm sure like in Magic Mountain and all that. They're so huge.
Now, once you threatened the network with the press, saying the press will find out.
They went away.
They went away.
Yeah.
Would you like to bite into this?
I mean, you know, I also told them, and I said, I'm going to be sensitive. I'm going to keep an eye and make sure we don't overdo it. And there might have been places here and there where there was a certain amount of blood that we pulled back on, but there was so much blood that it wasn't
that
problem.
Very beginning itchy and scratchy cartoon where he's getting all the
we cut down on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Less blood.
The gag, was there like a Disney dollars or something?
Yes, he bought the Itchy Scratchy Land dollars.
Yeah,
and their signs say, do not take any. You know, again, the flexible reality of The Simpsons is he buys $1,100 worth.
Right.
Homer opens his wallet and has $1,100 in cash. And then later on, we find out that he makes only $40 a day in another episode, in the sugar episode, actually. That's how what we found.
Well,
so it's very flexible how much money he has.
Pulled out that cat's lungs and played them like a bagpipe. But in the next scene, the cat was breathing comfortably.
This is some of our arguments with the network kind of put into the... that's us running away.
That's exactly... Bye.
Please. Bart.
Eyeball stew.
Homer, we just got here and already I'm mortified beyond belief by your embarrassing behavior.
But so much of this is that the feeling when you go to a big amusement park, and particularly, I think Disney is the closest thing that we've taken from here, and...
I'll have the baby guts.
Lady, you disgust me.
Mom, that's Theo. You sure she'll have fun here?
That's you and your vegan propaganda trying to...
This is before she's a vegetarian, but she still was anti-veal. You could still be a meat eater and still be anti-veal because of how difficult they bring them up.
Sure.
And this, I love that ball joke, yeah.
Waterland. Explosion Land.
It's very. This again is very simple. Similar to a Disney map.
You know, I was obsessed with those old Disney maps as a kid. You know,
it's, well,
have I been over here? You know, wait a minute, that ride's closed. You know.
And this is basically the Electric Light Parade. We sort of did as close to the music as we could, which was to try and get a piece of music that in its repetition would start to drive you insane in less than 2 minutes. So that's sort of the idea.
This is also a little ode to Westworld, isn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's Jurassic Park, Westworld, because we have Chaos Theory, which then leads us into a Westworld-type situation. Another great movie, Westworld, by the way.
I remember that. I remember seeing a movie and there was a couple of greasers in the front row telling us exactly what was going to happen. They set them on fire, and sure enough, so clearly they had seen the movie, and it wasn't the fact that the movie was taking suggestions from them.
So, Wes, this must have been an incredibly difficult show to animate. It's very complicated.
Yeah, it was, but it was also a lot of fun, and I really, you know, look forward to coming into work every day to draw it.
It's great to challenge. You guys would get excited about a challenge like that. And that's
yeah,
another reason.
I mean, the basic basic violent gag is fun. It plays around with the laws of cartoon physics called squash and stretch.
I love the quick jerk at the beginning of the rhyme. Good observation.
And this is very similar. The quiet part's very similar to the beginning of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. That's where that came from. And of course, it gets much more violent than that. Almost get poked in the eye.
I wonder how many ride.
People. You know, it's kind of rough. It's kind of rough.
Part of spending time together as a family is spending time apart.
By the way, that corporate character is Hank's voice, and it's based on the Kit the Car, William. Who does the voice for Kit the Car?
Daniels.
William Daniels, who's also from The Graduate, one of our favorite movies, and that's kind of where that voice comes from. And it really is a voice that always makes me laugh.
Right down to the smallest. I love this. Right after this joke coming up with John Travolta.
Yeah, looks like.
I think.
Can I say
right
something about
that.
John just before we do it, or are you gonna? Because that used to be a joke. That was before John Travolta came back in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, like the next year, the next
he was
month,
huge.
His career just skyrocketed.
That's right. But when we made that joke, he was at an ebb in his career. And instead of helping him, we thought we'd kick him and put him down. And you know, that's what we do. That's what comedy's all about.
Take no prisoners.
That's right.
They had to come up with some friends. There's the disgruntled goat, Uncle Aunt, Ku Klux Klan.
I think Ku Klux Klan is Mike Reese, by the way. And it is one of our biggest selling creatures in the South. So I just wanted to mention that.
I like disgruntled goat.
This, by the way, is based on something that my cousin did at Disneyland. He loved to find people in those suits and was so annoyed by them as a kid, he would stamp on their foot and run off. And what I always find funny, and I still, you'll see me put it in everywhere, is people yelling in pain when they're muffled. It's always funny to me, and that's where all that came from.
Well, Matt, you said that, I remember you telling me that the kids love to punch the seven dwarfs.
Yeah, the seven dwarfs. Yeah, I heard from people who are employees of a certain amusement park that, kids love to punch the seven dwarfs, and they also used to love to punch, most of all, the three little pigs.
Oh,
interesting. There's not a kid alive that doesn't want to kick a pig.
See, there's Bart there.
They never
again.
Traveled alone. They had to, like,
yeah, they're always dancing in a circle.
With their backs to each other.
Oh, my God.
It's not a job you should envy as a guy in any kind of popular character suit. It is not an
Roger
easy job.
Myers, Senior,
now, who's Roger Myers?
He's the creator of the Itchy and Scratchy. He's sort of the Disney.
Oh, right.
He's Disney-esque.
Sort of the Disney, yes. Except in 1938. And you see there's like a little
the father
reference.
Of the guy that now runs. Nazi supermen are our
superiors. That was his one like kind of black spot in his life. We're not saying if that's based on anybody. Now this is one of my all-time favorite Itchy and Scratchy cartoons. West
like Fantasia.
It's exactly like Fantasia, but the animation is beautiful, I think.
Incredible.
It's just as fluid as anything we've ever done. Don't you think, Matt?
Yeah, I love it. In fact, I love this so much that I wanted to do a whole episode called Simstasia, which would be our version of the movie Fantasia, except Wes has just done the central cartoon. So I don't know if we can do it.
It took us a long, long time to write this and to come up with this. And again, Wes executed it. You know, it's so great.
If I couldn't draw it, you know, I'd probably be doing the same thing to little animals in real life.
So. See how important violence is, people? You're keeping us off the streets as long as we can do violence on these shows. But, you know, again, we were really excited when we wrote this, but it was just words. And I'm just like staring at these words. And then it comes back from Wes, and it's just great. It's just better than you could ever imagine it.
Even at the animatic, it was hard to tell whether it was going to work. And then when we saw the color animation, it was just so great.
Now, whose idea was it that it would turn into this thing where the robots go bananas and start attacking
people? You know,
again,
you know, kind of sitting in the room and figuring out what the problem was, and you know, having seen Westworld, the idea we knew they were going to go insane and how we were going to stop them. I can't remember if anyone specifically.
Plenty of each.
Yes. That's one of my favorite voices that Dan did as the Geppetto, the woodcutter, and saying, Pinuccio. I just love the way he said that.
Pinuccio, don't you lie.
Draw upon my Italian roots.
I love his thing. It's called Little Bastard.
Yeah, he's got his Little Bastard. It's his Little Bastard travel pit. He has the regular one at home, but this is the small one.
You always laughed at that.
You know what's great about
that? My favorite thing. Yeah.
It's the way the camera follows the bomb into the mouth of Itchy.
Muffin Bucket Man to the exit of the Nauseator.
We have another jumper in the roof at TGI McScratchy's.
We need more Bort license plates in the gift shop. I repeat, we are sold out of Bort license plates.
I really wish.
Beneath Disneyland is a city beneath Disneyland, and that's what this is based on. It's also a bit based on Westworld, which took it from Disneyland, too. Westworld was written by people that were knowledgeable that there was an underground land below Disney.
I just have to say, years ago, I was on the sky ride at Disneyland and looking down from the gondolas and I said, you could spit on anyone from up here. And there's a kid in the thing with me. And he said, don't do it. Don't do it. I did it.
He served time.
They hauled me around underground for half a day making me apologize.
If you misbehave, they pull the children underground, and some of them never resurface.
They
resurfaced as one of the seven dwarf costume characters.
That's right. You could find yourself in the costume for the rest of your life with a locked zipper. No. Now, I have no idea. There was all this traveling to get to this place, but yet Frink is there. I mean, it took them like 3 days to drive there, but yet Frink is working there, apparently. I guess he figured this out at home, and then he rushed in to tell them. And he forgot to carry the one, and that's why they're going off 24 hours sooner than he thought.
That's right.
But Marge, I was a political prisoner.
How are you a political prisoner?
I kicked a giant mouse in the butt. Do I have to draw you a diagram?
Oh, for gosh sakes, what now?
And this is always fun but difficult to write, which is, you know, an action sequence that's also funny. And
hey, look, one's coming on to me.
I am not kidding. I mean, this sounds like a bit, but I'm not kidding. I have a recurring nightmare that I've had since I was a kid, that I am locked in an amusement park after closing, and there are robots patrolling.
Interesting. Did it happen after the show or before?
No, I've had it since childhood.
Oh, okay.
So this actually, I'm...
There you go.
I just wet my pants that last scene. No, that... I'm not kidding.
You always
that.
Have some excuse for that. I love Homer with the handkerchief. Yoo-hoo! That's from old movies. It always cracks me up.
That's so ridiculous.
And but yeah, there are various. It actually comes from the Three Stooges, quite frankly. That kind of behavior.
Yeah, I didn't know if that would work
to be girls
when we were animating it. It was so silly, but it cracks me up every time.
Sometimes these jokes are just funny and they're hard to describe why, but we just know that they are.
Back, you robot! Nobody ruins my family vacation.
It's fun what he pulls out of his pocket here. This is the big action sequence, except it's what a normal guy would throw. Just describing the joke to you, in case you don't understand. The underwear is... The fact that it's real hard to get the underwear out, I love that subtlety to it.
It's gray.
And by accident, they discover the camera situation.
Scrambled their circuit! Who are you, the narrator?
Self-conscious writing at its best.
Smashy, smashy.
don't approve of that.
I love Nancy is doing her whoa.
Yes.
She does,
that's right. Yeah, the difference between cartoons and real life is that almost every time our cartoons do anything physical,
effect,
they make
right?
a sound.
Yeah.
And people don't generally, but in cartoons they do.
We do a lot of that.
You do a lot of that. You do a lot of that.
It's funny that the Simpsons are the only ones left.
This is the craziest joke.
With a dry, cool wit like that,
who would have thought they were visiting?
He interrupts it because Bart has already said it. Bart said it earlier, so Homer's just repeating it. And that was I was always very proud of that because it's just completely insane. And again, I don't quite understand why it's funny, but it is.
And we've never done that joke before.
Never
or since.
Did it before since.
I always no. loved
That's
that
a good
one.
Joke.
So Yardley and Dan, do you still have to do the grunts and the?
Oh yeah,
and the,
every time.
And the does and all
they
of that.
Hours and hours.
You would
miles,
think they would have like a
grunts.
Bin full of.
You'd think.
Cataloged.
But no, just the other day I came in and did a bunch of grunts.
I still have to say doe, even though they have thousands of does.
Amazing.
I still have to go,
doe! But partly that's just fun for us.
But
you know?
It is, you're right, it's better to do it because it gets, it's more organic and it's,
it is.
Again,
each
it
one is different.
Each
one,
inspires
you know, that is interesting because we were mixing a show yesterday, as a matter of fact, it's just coming up, and we needed an extra Homer shriek. And we took the shriek when you're running into the garage, you know, in the main title, you know, that shriek,
uh-huh.
and thought, well, we'll just put it later. You could tell. You could say, no, that's too familiar. So we actually looked through the tracks and found your shriek. And,
yeah.
By the way, that reference to empty Euro Disneyland is no longer accurate because it was when Euro Disneyland was struggling, and now it is successful. We have been able to force that culture on the rest of Europe, thank God. And but back then it was in big trouble, and they didn't know if it was going to survive, so of course we thought we'd kick them when it was down. That last piece, again, shows you...
It's about violence.
It's about violence and how it's funny
Making
even though it's
yeah.
not nice.
And the repercussions that are paid because of it.
That's right. We should all be sent to our rooms for doing this episode.
But first you can have a good giggle.
You can't help it. That's Marge, who's the most against violence, couldn't help but laugh seeing her own son hit in the head with a shoe.
That's
it's,
right.
As Homer says, it's funny because it isn't me.
And I hope I mentioned when... Did we mention when Molman was in the phone booth and the birds?
Yes.
That it was the birds from Alfred Hitchcock? And
no,
was,
we didn't.
Okay, just to let you know.
You know, I'm watching these old episodes. Here we're watching this in 2005, but what's this, 1994? I'm going, oh, no, you know, I'd forgotten we can't do that parody anymore. We've already done the birds. We parodied Hitchcock's The Birds probably about five or six times.
Yeah, we'll do The Birds at five more times. Don't worry.